Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Cruz. Welcome to the LeadX Show, where we help you to stand out and to get ahead. I hope you'll remember to tell your friends on Facebook and also at work about the LeadX podcast because we want to build the LeadX family. And check out leadx.org, where we're offering a new free online course every single day. Recently, we've had Beth Butler showing us how to organize our office for peak productivity, Dr. Patricia Scott on how to engage short attention span audiences, and I personally taught my secrets to overcoming procrastination, and even how I managed to get to inbox zero, even though I get hundreds of emails a day. Check out the free course of the day at leadx.org. On today's episode, we have our first repeat guest. She's one of the smartest and most generous people I know. We talk about the absolute best way to begin to build your personal brand, how our guest tripled her income in a single year, and a simple way to get started, and literally, you can start making money in a month. But first, today's tip is one question alignment. I learned years ago as a manager that it's much harder than it should be to truly know what your team members are working on. Are they working on the most important stuff or the easy stuff? Are they putting out fires as a form of procrastination? Do their tasks align with the goals of the team and the company? A very simple and free way to check on priorities and alignment is to ask everyone that reports to you one simple question. What's your most important task this week? It's much harder to answer than you might think. Every week, we plan to do 100 tasks, and some are really important, and some just have to get done on time. So what's the number one thing? But in the spirit of my book, 15 Secrets Successful People Know About Time Management, that's the big secret. Know your most important task, your MIT. It's as easy as asking the question out loud in your weekly staff meeting, or sending an email to all team members and asking them to hit reply all with their response. These days, my team is remote and we use Basecamp to communicate. And it has a wonderful feature called automatic check-ins. So I set one up that triggers every Monday morning. We all get it. And our answers to the MIT question are posted up for all to see. Instant visibility, instant alignment, and it improves accountability. What's your most important task this week? One question alignment. Now, our guest today has been called by the New York Times an expert at self-reinvention and helping others make changes in their lives. She's an adjunct professor at Duke University's Fuqua School of Business, a frequent contributor to Harvard Business Review, and she consults and speaks for clients including Google, Microsoft, and the World Bank. She is a best-selling author of Reinventing You and Stand Out, and her new book is Entrepreneurial You, Monetize Your Expertise, Create Multiple Income Streams, and Thrive. Our guest is Dori Clark. Dori, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kevin, thanks for having me. It's great to talk with you.
Yeah, and I should say welcome back because you're actually the first repeat guest we've ever had on the LeadX Show.
I am the first? That's incredible.
Not only are you the first, but we did a throwback Thursday because on your first episode because you dropped the three-word personal branding exercise and it kind of broke the internet. Like our audience went crazy for that. And so we ran that recently and it's nice to have you back on live.
Wow. Well, thank you. It is always a treat to get to talk with you.
So we're going to talk about your new book in just a minute, but you might remember we always start with a failure story. And last time you went way back when you were working on a political campaign and shared a tidbit with us. And I'm hoping you failed more than once because I want to hear another failure story.
You know, all the time, my man. For this one, Kevin, I will go even further back, actually, because this was like sort of a foundational failure. I finished grad school, I got a master's degree in theological studies, and I had just assumed all along that I was going to go on to a career in academia. And so I applied to doctoral programs, and it turned out I did not get into any of them.
Oh my gosh.
And I literally had never even considered that possibility. I thought it would be like, okay, I didn't think I'd get into all of them, but I thought, all right, well, I'm going to get into one of them or maybe a couple, and you know, then we'll see. It just had never crossed my mind that I would not get into any of them, because wow. I'd always done well in school, yeah. And you know, that was sort of my thing. So I was just sort of stunned and flabbergasted and had no plan B whatsoever. And so, you know, I was in my early 20s. I had no idea. And so I really kind of had to go back to square one, because I realized, I mean, I had done some internships in college, but not enough that I really felt like I had this robust professional skill set.
Right.
And I had been a philosophy major as an undergrad. I had this graduate degree in theology. So it was not self-evident what kind of a job I could get.
Right.
It was like, all right, well, I clearly have to have some kind of a job because academia doesn't want me. So I spent a year interning. I just set up these internships for myself so that I could actually gain some professional skills, and ultimately, you know, did manage to get work. But that was an alarming time for me. What I've learned from that is that it's always important to at least consider the possibility that something will not work. And that was not something that I knew how to do when I was 20 years old.
Yeah, that's amazing. You learned early the value of a plan B, I guess. And I'm shocked, because I'm not exaggerating. Like, I think you're one of the highest IQ people I personally know. Well, you know, rounded out with a great personality and everything. And I know you were, you know, very accomplished at a very young age in school. So I'm blown away that you weren't. Yeah, I also wouldn't have had a thought you would have needed a plan B. But, you know, Dory, this is good. I feel better about myself. I have very low self-esteem. And one of the things is I applied to a whole bunch of graduate programs for international affairs right out of undergrad and was rejected by everybody. And now I thought that was likely, so I had a plan B. But it's I'm glad to know it wasn't personal. It wasn't just me.
Yes, well, we're part of the elite club now, Kevin, of academia rejects.
Okay, so here's another question for you, because again, we're going to talk about the new book in a second, but before we dive into the specifics of that, another more general question, like for a young professional who wants to stand out and get ahead in her career these days, I mean, do you have sort of a fundamental piece of advice? Of course, so much of your work is around personal branding and building your network. We've spoken about that in the past. But, you know, what would you tell a young professional these days?
So, Kevin, one of the biggest things that I would encourage people to do as a way of establishing themselves and kind of getting themselves known is content creation. And this is one of the core tenets of the methodology that I've developed around how to become a recognized expert. That's what I talk about in my past book, Stand Out. I have this online course about how to become a recognized expert. And this is really the foundational thing, is that one of the key pieces is content creation. The reason, of course, is that other people will never know if your ideas are any good. You know, they'll never recognize you like, oh, you're so smart, your ideas are so good, if they don't know what your ideas are. You have to find a way of putting them out there. And so whatever the means is, whether, you know, whatever your thing is, it could be blogging, it could be podcasting, it could be videos, it could be speeches, but somehow you have to convey them. Now, for young professionals in particular, the follow-up question might be, well, what if I don't know? What if I don't know what my thing is? If that is the case, fine, no problem. Pick an area that you are at least reasonably interested in. Interview other people. It is shocking the extent to which you will get credit in people's minds for these ideas. I mean, not in the sense of like, you know, you're somehow stealing credit, but you will be recognized alongside the person that you profiled if you are the person doing the interviews and putting it out there. The benefit of their intellectual halo will extend to you. So interview a bunch of people in the field that you're interested in. A, you will learn a lot. B, you will gain a lot of street cred in your industry.
Love it. And I love that phrase, they're sharing their intellectual halo. I like that. So your new book again is Entrepreneurial You: Monetize Your Expertise, Create Multiple Income Streams, and thrive. So you've gone with some of your previous work into, you know, more marketing and branding, and this is getting hardcore. This is sales. This is monetizing that brand and expertise. You know, did you figure this was just the next step to write about?
This is totally the next step. I kind of think of my three books, Reinventing You, Stand Out, and Entrepreneurial You, as a trilogy. And so in many ways, this is the capstone, because, you know, it is, of course, important to reinvent yourself into the job or the career that you want. It is essential, once you are in that industry, to stand out, to get noticed, to differentiate yourself from the competition. But none of that is going to matter. None of that's going to get you anywhere unless you actually learn how to make money at it in a sustainable way. And so this is a book grappling with this this ultimate question. How do you monetize your expertise? How do you actually build a lucrative long-term career for yourself? And that's what I dive into in Entrepreneurial You.
And I was thrilled when, of course, you mentioned to me when you started this book, you know, what it was going to be. And I think it's so important because there are so many people that, like, you would think are wildly successful online because they've got a bazillion Twitter followers, or they pop up everywhere, you know, they do 20 Snapchat stories a day, whatever it is, big followings. And then, you know, I've gotten to know some of these people, and they're dead broke. I mean, they're internet famous, but have never found a way to make money from it. And you're actually showing, both from, of course, your research and interviews, but also now your own experience of, like, all right, you know, what do you do with this audience? How do you monetize it? And were you surprised by any? Because again, you've been successful at doing it, but you also went out to speak to others. I mean, did you learn anything through this process?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the reason in a lot of ways that I wanted to write this book was, first of all, so that I could learn from some of the really smart people out there who were monetizing in great ways. So I wanted to take the lessons, apply them in my own business, and then share what I had learned with other people. And so in particular for me, an area that I wanted to learn about especially, although this is not the only thing that I talk about in Entrepreneurial You, I kind of, you know, run the gamut of different ways that people can monetize. But for me, an area of emphasis was I was very interested in creating online courses. And so I decided that in 2016, when I was writing the book, that was going to be the year that I kind of explored the online course world. So I very much taking the playbook from the folks that I had interviewed, put that into practice. I launched a pilot course. I, in September of 2016, launched the full iteration of my course, Recognized Expert. And Kevin, strictly from applying the information that I had learned in the course of researching Entrepreneurial You, I was able to create new revenue streams and increase my income by $193,000 last year.
Amazing.
So I have tested this, and I know that the principles can work. I wanted to make myself the first guinea pig before sharing it with other people, but I feel really good about them. There's a lot of opportunities out there that people are not tapping and leveraging, and I wanted, with Entrepreneurial You, to help them do that.
Incredible. That's a great success metric. And you mentioned online courses, and you know, I'm a big fan of them. I've got a couple of my own. I don't usually push them that much. Most people don't even know I have them, but I've got a couple of courses. I take courses all the time, and I think they're a great way for people to monetize, you know, what they know. And having said that, just this week, I got an email from a listener who said, oh my gosh, I'm getting bombarded by all these product launches and I can't tell, like, what's good and what's not good, and am I wasting my money or not? And then yesterday I was listening to a Gary Vaynerchuk Q&A, and he said, oh, the whole online course thing is getting overblown because so many people are doing them. So what's your reaction? Still a lot of opportunity, or are we kind of getting to where now everybody's got a course?
I think that it has a huge growth potential, and I think that it depends what universe you're talking about, right? Like, so if your universe is the world of online marketers or online entrepreneurship, then yeah, everybody has a course, just like everybody has a podcast, right? I mean, how many people do you know, Kevin, that have podcasts?
Well, personally, I know a lot, but not my neighbors or family members or any real people.
Exactly. I mean, I probably have 50 close friends that have podcast. It's like if in my universe, everyone has a podcast. And if we extrapolate that out, then, you know, we'd say, oh, yeah, well, in America, there must be 200 million podcasts. No, there aren't. You know, I mean, right. There's plenty of podcasts, but this is not a mainstream thing. Most Americans don't even listen to podcasts yet. It's not a thing yet in the popular consciousness. If you are listening to this podcast, you are in the vanguard of having tapped into this new channel. And so, you know, for the number of people that listen to podcasts, well, there's even fewer that have podcasts. Same thing with online education. In our world, of course, everybody has, you know, these online courses. It's become a thing. I mean, yeah, in the early days, if you were guy number three to create an online course, you could probably do a pretty crappy job and still make a lot of money because everyone's like, oh my God, an online course. I've never even heard of such a thing. And then they buy it. Now, you know, you have to have high quality now, of course, because there is competition, but the world has not tapped into online courses. This is going to be the way that people are educated in the future. There's just such a vast potential. As long as you have great stuff and as long as you have an audience of people that trusts you, then they're going to want to buy your courses. I feel very bullish about the future of that.
That's great. And I think you're right. I mean, I think the, you know, internet marketing community, everybody's sort of selling to each other. And it is a frothy community. I mean, we buy a lot of stuff. But you can find online courses on how to train your dog and how to restore your cars and like all kinds of niche topics. And that's really, you know, where whatever the topic is, if there isn't already, there's going to be some online education around it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. My mother actually just took her first online course. It's really hysterical.
I hope it was yours.
No, it's not. My mother somehow, I think she bought it off of a Facebook ad. She doesn't even know. I'm like, how did you find out about it? She's like, I don't really know. But I think she must have clicked through a Facebook ad. But thank God. It was a class that she really liked. It was on iPhone photography. And she just was extolling its virtues to me about how amazing this was. Because, you know, the truth is my mom actually was a kind of rubbish photographer. So she needed this course. But she's been digging it so much. And my mom just turned 80, you know? So she's like, if she's doing online courses for the first time and she's really loving it, I feel like there's a lot of room for this to grow.
Okay, now, and what you just triggered, I mean, first of all, your mom sounds like a wonderful lady. Very cool. And I think I've seen that ad for that course. And here's the thing. I think a lot of people think like, oh, I'm not an expert enough in this subject area. You know, I'm not a professional paid photographer. I can't create that course. But isn't it true that you need to realize that the opportunity are Dory's mom, the people who aren't looking to be a professional photographer. It's the fundamentals. How do I use my iPhone to take better pictures? What's the very first step in personal branding? I mean, you don't need to come off. You're not trying to teach other experts. You're trying to teach the newbies, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the real question, you certainly don't need to be the world's expert. I mean, if that were the case, then literally one person in the world
right.
could teach every subject. And that's not really a feasible model. They might not even speak your language. So right. So there is room for a lot of people. I think the question is, are you credible enough? You know, that's really the key, right? You know, you're not necessarily going to take an iPhone photography class from like random Joe down the street.
Right.
But as long as they have some credibility, as long as they have enough of a claim to fame that they can say, oh, okay, I can see that. I can get it that he would be the one to do this course. That's good enough. And this goes to the second principle that I actually teach in my recognized expert course, which is social proof. And this is a term borrowed from psychology. And it basically just means like, what is your credibility? What is the reason why people should listen to you? And if you take that with content creation, those two are a very powerful combination, because if you're putting out good content so people can see with their own eyes, like, oh yeah, she really knows what she's talking about. This makes sense. And then the person sees, in addition to you, you know, making sense, you are credible because, you know, insert any of a variety of things. You know, maybe like Kevin Cruz, you blog for Forbes. Maybe you have written a book. Maybe you used to work for a company that everyone respects. Maybe you have had freelance clients that people know the names of and can say, oh, wow, you know, they hired him. That's incredible. Maybe you are a leader of a professional association. You know, any of those things can serve as forms of social proof that give people enough confidence to say, oh, okay, my gut was that Kevin is pretty credible. And now that I see this, I know he's credible. So I feel comfortable buying from him.
That's great. That's great. So what would be like a very practical first step? Let's assume that, you know, I'm already a blogger. You know, I've already identified my area of expertise, the thing that I'm passionate about, know about. I have some credibility. What would be like a practical first step to get closer to now, you know, monetizing this expertise?
Yeah, absolutely. So when it comes to, you know, just a practical first step, I am a really big fan of literally just getting started. I feel like there is power in momentum. And so one of the people that I profile in Entrepreneurial U is a guy named Michael Parrish Dudell, who actually wrote the book based on the television show Shark Tank. And I love his story, which I feel like is kind of an inspirational one for a lot of people. He actually set himself a deadline. He was interested in becoming an entrepreneur and starting his own business, but he realized that the essence of it, like he knew he could do the work that he wanted to do for people, but he had never sold. He'd never actually made sales. And he knew that to be an entrepreneur, you had to do that. And so he set himself a deadline and he said, you know what? In a month, I'm going to give myself a month. If I do not land a client within a month, I'm just going to quit. And I'm just going to go back to, you know, having a day job or whatever. And you know, it's kind of harsh. It's kind of Spartan. But in a lot of ways, I think it's so powerful because a lot of people just talk about it for years and years and years and they never do it. And he's like, nope, put up or shut up, Michael. Right. You've got to get this. And so I would say whatever, you know, let's go back to sort of lean startup principles. Whatever your minimum viable product is, do that. It can be literally just as simple as selling an hour of coaching time to your friend for $25. It does not even matter. What matters is that you start the process and that you get money in your pocket for something. When you get money in your pocket, even if it's $25, you are an entrepreneur. And so an easy starting point, I mean, I'm a fan of this. This is how I started with coaching, with consulting, something like that, because that requires zero setup. It requires, you know, zero infrastructure. It's just sharing your knowledge with people that want your knowledge. So I think that's often a really good starting point to just, you know, mention to your friends, hey, you know, I'm starting a business doing coaching around blah, blah, blah. Would you be interested? Sell it to them at a discount. It doesn't matter. You don't have to have like these princely sums to begin with. What you need is practice, and what you need is testimonials. And so if you could get some beta testers essentially to agree to do something cheap in exchange for testimonials, if they like it, that is how you build the foundation for a business. And especially if you give yourself a deadline about, all right, I'm going to do this within a month. I'm going to land my first client. Boom.
Love that. So practical and motivating. LeadX listeners, we always like to get a challenge out of our interviews. And so the challenge of the day is if you have any desire to monetize your expertise, money in a month, baby. Set yourself the goal. As Dory said, it doesn't matter what the dollar amount is. Get at least one customer, one client in the next 30 days. I love that challenge. Dory, how can our listeners find out more about you and your new book?
Kevin, thank you so much. So the new book, again, is Entrepreneurial You. If folks want to learn more and dive into the question of how they can build multiple revenue streams in their own business, I actually have a free resource. It is the 88 Question Entrepreneurial You Self-Assessment, and you can download that for free at doryclark.com/entrepreneur.
Wonderful. We'll, of course, put the links in the show notes. LeadX family, it's been another incredible session with Dory. So Dory, I'm sure you were the first repeat guest, and I have a feeling you're going to end up being the first three-peat guest down the road. Thanks again for coming on to the show.
Great talking with you. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Friends, before we go, remember, at LeadX, we're on a mission to give free leadership training and professional development to everyone, anywhere, at any time. Visit leadx.org, that is, to check out our course of the day, or visit leadx.org/Branson to download our free ebook, Richard Branson's 7 Secrets to Leadership. And please take one quick minute, go to leadx.org/subscribe to subscribe and leave a rating for this podcast, the LeadX Leadership Show, leadx.org/subscribe. Until next time, remember, you have incredible influence on those around you, your family, your team at work, your community. We all need you to lead mindfully. How will you lead today?